Acts chapter 6, page 924. Yes. All right, here we go. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained. Would you say complained for me? In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12, being the 12 apostles, the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism, and they presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. That's a good thing. Amen? Amen. The word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Lord, we come to you this morning. Each one of us, Lord, each one of us challenged in our lives. Each one of us pressed in upon by the kingdom of darkness, Lord, seeking to gain inroads into our hearts and minds, our homes and our souls, Lord. And we would stand against that. We would push back against that pressure that we have in our lives, Lord. We would ask today, Lord, power to overcome, as Roki was speaking. Power to overcome, power to meet goals, power to push back the kingdom of darkness in our lives, Lord, that we might see fullness, Lord, fullness of your kingdom, Lord, that would be manifest in us and through us, Lord. We will give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. You want to see that kingdom of darkness push back in your life?
Yes.
Are you ready to start pushing?
Yes.
Not going to be doing any complaining. Oh, get quiet. There is some complaining that can go on. There is drama that can go on. There is especially drama that can go on in the food distribution. Can I get a witness on that? Yes, we do a food distribution around here. In fact, we have done food distribution around here for over 10 years. That I've been just kind of a cheap food kind of guy. All my time in ministry, I've just been looking for the hookup. And rather than belabor that point, I remember one point, the San Diego Food Bank was distributing boneless, skinless chicken breast. How many of you ladies like boneless, skinless chicken breast? That's it? Come on now. How many of you, if I said I got 400 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken breast ready to get picked up tomorrow, how many of you would show up? Men too, right? Amen? Yes, yes. Well, we had that hookup. They had just pallets of boneless, skinless chicken breast. And I said, there was so much I couldn't go down and get it all. I sent down a lady to get a load. I've been down there so often. And she loaded up her whole trunk. Came back and all kinds of people waiting. Boneless, skinless chicken breast. She opened up her trunk and commenced to pull out package after package of chicken gizzards. There was a little complaining that went on that day. Can I get a witness? How many of you ladies, if you were showing up for boneless, skinless chicken breast and got gizzards, you might be doing a little bit of complaining. Can I get a witness on that? Yes, there was some complaining going on. Back in the day, there was complaining going on as well. And it was by the Grecian Jews. And you can imagine what a contrast to all the good feelings and the good sentiment. I mean, God is doing miraculous signs and wonders. People are being healed. Demons being cast out. People are coming to the Lord. The number of disciples is growing day after day. And now we've got complaining going on. What a contrast. I mean, we've read about all the good stuff that was going on. Back in chapter 2, Acts 43 and 44, everyone was filled with awe. Can you say awe for me? Awe. That means just, wow, how awesome. Like, think about the worship time we had. Awe, how awesome. Many wonders and miraculous signs were being done by the apostles. And all the believers were together. Just one big happy family. They had everything in common. People were selling their homes. People were selling fields. People were bringing everything that they had, and they shared, and nobody had any need. What an incredible picture of contentment and joy and peace. Amen? And now, these Grecian Jews, I mean, what are these guys up to? They're complaining. They're destroying the harmony of the brand new church. And we've got believers coming in every day, converts come in. We can't have that. We can't have this complaining going on. And what we see, you know what I mean? And people complain, they're just not happy. Amen? And there's no joy going on. It's just not good. And you would think, oh God, step in quick. This has got to get fixed immediately. We can't have this bad press going on. Would you step in, God, and take care of this little baby church, these little baby, they don't even know anything yet. They're barely able to stand on their own 2 feet. Step in and save them. God doesn't do it. God doesn't even come close. You know what? God doesn't roll that way. Can I get a witness on that? You know, God has no problem with bad press. Can I get a witness on that? See, you know, I'll tell you what. You read this book, and this book is filled with bad press. Bad press for God. I'll tell you what. The very leaders of the church back in the day, they're the ones who killed Jesus. You think if God was trying to put together a book filled with good press, he would have left that part out. Bible tells us that Jesus came unto his own, and they received him not. God was worried about press. I think he would have done things a whole lot differently. Can I get a witness? Are you guys just sitting there confused? What is he talking about today? See, I think, as has been already stated several times today, we think God is going to step in and fix everything for us. That we just kind of sit back waiting, saying, God, I sure hope you're going to get busy on my account, because there's some bad stuff going on around me. And I guess I could follow you if you'll hook me up. But God doesn't really roll that way. God deals with reality. And reality is that each one of us has got some challenges in our lives. Excuse me, let me say that again. Reality is that each one of us has got some challenges in our lives. Thank you very much. I want to make sure somebody was paying attention to what I had going on. And God doesn't say, I'm going to come in and handle your challenges for you. Luke chapter 10, you know, Luke wrote the book of Acts, right? Go back to chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus talking, I have given you authority to trample snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. How much? All. And some of us be sitting around going, God, I got the kingdom of darkness edging in on my action. Can you shine some light over here for me? God says, that's what I got you there for. Ain't nobody going to shine light in your life but you. Ain't nobody going to shine light on your kids, on your family members. That's why I got you. That's why I called you. So a message can go out. Title of today's message is Pushing for Change. My question for you is, where does change need to happen in your life? Where is the kingdom of darkness pressing in and needs to be pushed back so so light can shine through. Where are you supposed to be pushing? Are we okay?
Yes.
All right, praise the Lord. Some people are ready for change. How many of you guys are ready for change? How many of you want more change? Amen. Some people are just tired of getting all this drama poured down on us. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. We got a message with impact. We got a message for change. We have a message that was seeing all kinds of impact on a great number of people rushing in, tired of the way things are. And in the midst of that is some complaining going on. Always seems like there's complaining going on. Can I get a witness on that? How many of you guys are sick and tired of complaining? How many of you guys are complaining about complaining? Guess what? That just makes more complaining. There's a different way to respond. I was thinking about it, and I think there's two kinds of complainers. And God has an answer for both. First type of complainer is the one who wants something done for them. I wish just somebody could just notice all the mess around this place. Now, how many of you heard somebody talk like that? Doesn't that just motivate you to clean? Oh, I'm so motivated to take care of you. The other type of complainer, they complain because they feel powerless. They feel that there is no hope for change, so they just complain. We'll come back to that. I wonder who these guys are complaining to. The Grecian Jews were complaining, and I got to think they're complaining to the disciples, to the apostles now. I think they're saying, hey, we're getting ripped off here. We thought you guys were going to be different. But you guys are running a game like everybody else. I wonder what it sounded like. I cannot imagine it was very encouraging. Because complaining never is. It had an impact. Let's take a look. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together. There's thousands of them now. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. A need for balance. A need for balance. There are physical needs in the church. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, you guys got physical needs. You got food, rent, car, job, all that stuff, right?
Amen.
And there's spiritual needs. Our need to grow in our soul, our need to grow in our spiritual man, our need to grow in our relationship with God. And what happens is that we can get out of kilter. You can go to some churches, man, and they're climbing the walls. They're so spiritual.
Yep.
You go to some churches, you never think they pray. All they're worried about is the physical. It's easy to lose balance. It's easy to lose focus. My question for you today is, how is your balance? How is your focus? Are you balanced between your relationship with God and your relationship with people? Where are you strong and where are you weak? Because your opportunity to work on your relationship with people will help you in your relationship with the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Last week we talked about working on a relationship with God. Talked about 15 minutes to change. Changes have been a theme in this series. Talked about 15 minutes of prayer. And if you were not here last week, I encourage you to go on the website and listen to that. Because it was off the hook. It has had an impact in my family this week. I have seen an impact in the church this week, just in our times of prayer after the food distribution. We talk about 5 steps in your prayer life that you can do in 15 minutes, and I encourage you to do it each morning. That you present your praise to God, that you would wake up and say, Lord, you are so awesome and you are so great. Roki opened or finished our time. And he read from Jesus telling us how to pray. It says, our Father, hallowed be your name. We just lift up your name. Okay? We good with that?
Yeah.
Present your praise to God. Present your person to God. God, I'm so messed up. You come into the presence of God, you will realize how much work needs to happen in your life. Amen? So it's a natural thing. Number three, present your problems. Oh, how many people got problems? I got problems. And I start saying, Lord, look at me. And all of a sudden, I see all the problems that I got. Oh, man. And then, so I got my praise. I got my person. I got my problems. Then I got my people. I'm praying for my kids. I'm praying for my wife. I am praying for some of you, many of you. I'm praying for Tex, for Michael, in that hospital room, non-responsive. Praying for Balthazar. Challenges of getting his meds right and all that kind of stuff. Man, I'm telling you, there are many of you that I am praying for. And number one, I pray for the drama. I'm like, whoa, there is drama going here, man. I start just as we talked about last week, the resources of God, like that fireman just shooting that water out on the fire, just spreading the resources of God on the situations around me. So you present your praise, you present your person, you present your problems, you present your people. And present your priorities. I'll take my priorities and spread them out before the Lord and say, Lord, what do you think is important? This is what I think is important. And oftentimes he changes my day. Amen? Because he's better than me. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness on that? Yes. Hallelujah. You have an opportunity to hook up with God this Saturday, 5 o'clock. I am hoping, trusting and praying that each one of you will be here, that you would carve out an hour. You have 6.5 days or more to prepare for it. If you have laundry, do it in 6.25 days. If you have to cook, do it in 6.125 days. I'll tell you what, I do believe that you could schedule your time to make a hole for an hour's worth of prayer by next Saturday at 5. Can I get a witness on that? Some of you right now are going, I ain't going. Okay, I can't make you. We've been doing some prayer around here, especially after the food distribution. Some of you have incredible challenges in your life. And what is so encouraging is to hear your prayer and hear the change in the response to the challenges. Because Jesus said, I have given you authority to trample on the head of the devil. And I am seeing some people that are wielding that authority and wielding that power. And they're not getting beat down by the enemy anymore. They are pushing back. Time to push back for change. And it is so awesome to see Roki pressing. Hear about Aaron getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning and praying. Hearing about so many of your prayers. I can talk about those two because they tell you up here what they've got going on. Some of you, I don't have that liberty. But I celebrate what the Holy Spirit is doing in your lives. Amen? Now, maybe you're standing here today and say, I want some of that. Get it. Get it. Jesus is giving out. He ain't holding back. You start pushing back the darkness in your life and you'll find light waiting right there. Amen. Okay. Our issues have kingdom solutions. Whatever problem you've got has got a kingdom solution. Can I get a witness on that? See, one thing we got to figure out is how to apply those kingdom solutions. And some of you don't even realize what opportunities you have. That's my job. But also, if you would come and hang, if you would come for the prayer time, if you would come and hang with the people and see that, you see, wow, that works for you. Maybe it might work for me. Kingdom solutions. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. God's people work things out. They picked 7 guys. They were busy. They weren't sitting waiting on the Lord to get it done. They picked some guys. And they picked some guys who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you would think, I mean, you got thousands of people getting saved. You've got people donating, selling their homes and donating all this stuff. We've got resources to manage around here. We probably need to get a couple of farmers. Yeah. John, why don't you find us a couple of farmers? They know how to deal with food. And a couple of shepherds. They know how to deal with the animals. And get a couple of, just Matthew, go find a couple of storekeepers for us, would you? We need some guys who can manage some resources. We got some guys with qualifications. Not one word is said about that. Find some guys that are filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't care what their background is. I don't care if they've never managed a bale of hay or a bale of wheat or a bale of anything. Find somebody full of the Holy Ghost. Because a man filled with the Holy Ghost can do anything. Can I say that again, please? A man filled with the Holy Ghost can do anything. I'll tell you what, a woman full of the Holy Ghost can do anything.
Amen.
Amen? I'll tell you what, that is the primary requirement that we need for people to do stuff around here. And some of you guys say, I don't know if I can do that. You know what I'm looking at in you? I'm looking whether or not you got the Holy Ghost in you. Because if you got the Holy Ghost in you, I'll tell you what, you are darn near invincible, folks. Now, he also says, pick some men that are wise. Pick some men who got wisdom. Pick some men that are choosing well. And we're talking about wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. And we're talking about ability to apply the knowledge of God. So you got to have a little bank of wisdom, a little bank of knowledge, I mean, rather, the knowledge of God. You got to be operating from something. You need to build up that bank. Come out on Wednesday night. We'll build that bank up on Wednesday night, and you'll have something to pull from. Because I tell you what, I got saved when I was 29. I was not a wise man. Some of you can share my lack of wisdom that you've made bonehead move after bonehead move after bonehead move. Can I get a witness on that? See, you come to the Lord, and the Lord's going to say, quit shooting yourself in the foot. It is time to wise up. How about you? You weren't learning the ways of the Lord? Did you come to the Lord? He's expecting a change. There's some people coming here and they're still making their same old choices. Help me now. Some of you come in here and get out there during the week still making them same old choices. You come dragging in here on Sunday and I couldn't make it on time. I got so beat down. I said, how dumb were you all week? I'm just dumb, doing dumb stuff. Ain't got no money left. What'd you spend it on? I'm afraid to know what you spent some of your money on. We got to be wise. But I'm telling you, one of the most exciting things that I see around here is people walking around in the Spirit of God, getting some knowledge, making right choices, making better choices, and come up to me and say, man, my life is getting better. Right. You're following the Spirit of God, getting the knowledge of God down in your core, down in your soul, and seeing good things happen. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. People of God handle responsibility. Help me now. Like, what do you mean responsibility? I'm wearing the hood. We ain't responsible for nothing. Man, give me something. My son. I'll tell you what. Give him $5. He wants to spend it right now. Save? What's not my daughter. She's a saver. Okay, but I don't mean to throw you under the bus too much, Joe, but he's dying to go to the swap meet with Aaron today after church. Please, Dad. People of God handle responsibility. We're going to turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Pick some guys. See, God is all about empowering people, trusting people, equipping people. God is all about equipping you, empowering you. He's saying, look, I'm going to give you the keys to heaven. What you unlock up there will be unlocked down here. Would you turn the key? Too many people got stuff locked up in heaven that should be rolling around in your lives, and you're not working the key. You're not living in responsibility. It's always been that way, folks. God's always been working through people. And what you need to do and what we all need to do is understand our opportunity. See, there's the kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of light. And that kingdom of darkness is pressing back on the kingdom of light, and it's your job to push. My question to you is, where is the devil reigning on your life? Where is the devil finding victory where you are supposed to be having victory? Your kids, your spouse, your job, your car, your house, whatever it is. So you can think and say, oh man, I just been getting whooped. God doesn't want you getting whooped. He wants you determining that you are strong, just like Roki following this. How old was that lady? She's about 50. Ancient. Ancient. Yeah, I turned 50 this year. How old are you, Roki? 37. A pup. Some ancient old lady, 50 years old, as old as me, leading the way, trying to keep up with that 50-year-old. Glory to God. How hard are you pushing? Pick men of the Spirit. Men of the Spirit can do anything. You got the Spirit of God in you, you can move past a 50-year-old. You can find victory in your life. You can push back the darkness. You can shine a light. Jesus said, I am giving you the light. Amen. You got to shine. Amen. Some of you people are going, that's my problem. I need a man of the Spirit. Lord, can you send one over to my house? I got some pushing that needs to get done. Lord says, no, I'm going to make you a man of the Spirit. Amen. I'm going to make you a woman. See, we got this thing, you know, it's just like, oh, Lord, can you come over and clean up my house? This year I got this thing Molly made. Save 50 bucks. Man, I think that means you have to spend more than 50. Wow. $30 off your initial clean, $20 off your third clean. And we think that's how God rolls. God, could you send somebody over? I need a coupon. Clean up my life, and then routinely send somebody over to keep it clean. That's not how God rolls. And that is not how God intends his people to roll. Third point, God's people are involved in their solutions. You are intended to be involved in the solutions in your life. Don't have, you know, the plumber come and fix it. The maid come and clean it. The cook come and cook it. It's on you. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parnabas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. They picked seven guys from their own. They didn't bring somebody else in. And the apostles said to the Grecian Jews, you guys got a problem? You guys find some guys and you guys fix it. Hardly seemed like anyone was taking them by the hand. Oh, let us help you with this. Got a problem in your home? God's saying, fix it. I have given you everything. I have given you authority. I have given you power. I have given you keys to heaven. Kingdom of darkness pushing in, where is it pushing? Because you got to start pushing back. Some of your kids messing around. Some of your kids walking around in church. Sorry, some kids walking around in church over there. Well, the ushers, they should keep them under. No! I'm not talking about those kids anymore. You know what? You got issues with your kids in your home? You better step up to the plate. Because the devil is moving in on your family. I'm going to create some destruction. And you're thinking, oh, no, oh, no. I created so much destruction in my family. How much destruction did you create in your family when you were growing up? And how'd you like that destruction visited on you? Oh, no, I don't want a kid as bad as me. Well, Holy Ghost better start rolling through you and making some changes. Hallelujah. They picked seven guys. God picked you. God picked you to shine the light in your home, your workplace. Handle responsibility. Handle the power of God. For some of these guys, I don't think they really was thinking that waiting on tables was that an attractive of an option. Say, Roki, time to wait on tables. Wait on tables. Glenn, wait on tables. What? God's looking for people who get stuff done. God's kingdom is upwardly mobile. Bible says, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. Are you handling a little bit? Like, well, I didn't really think it was worth much, so I haven't really put much effort into it. Haven't seen much growth. Five of these guys we don't hear much more of. I'm sure if you look through history, you'll probably find some references and stuff. But I tell you what, you go to chapter 8 of the book of Acts and you can hear about Philip. God spoke to his heart. One of these table waiters. One of these guys that were dealing with food, feeding people. Spoke to his heart and said, hey, you go down to a road, you're going to see a guy. And he sees an Ethiopian eunuch, one of the servants, just a head guy in the kingdom of Ethiopia. And he says, what are you reading? He says, how can I know what I'm reading? He's reading from the scroll of Isaiah. Do you need some help? Man, I need some help. And he ends up sharing the message of Christ as revealed in the scroll of Isaiah. And the guy says, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized right now? And Philip goes on from there, and that guy goes back to Ethiopia. And we see Philip, this table waiter, involved in the spread of the gospel to the continent of Africa. How'd you guys like to be responsible for spreading the gospel to a whole continent? Can I get a witness on that? You said, oh, yeah, I'm for that. Will you wait on tables? Well, I don't know. Kingdom of God is upwardly mobile. The Stephen, man full of faith, he started waiting on tables. Kingdom of God, upwardly mobile. If you're faithful a little bit, he'll be giving more to you. And we continue to read in chapter 6, and this diversion in chapter 6, we see the gospel moving to those Greek-speaking Jews, and then from there to the Gentiles, and we see the contact of the gospel to the Apostle Paul through this man, Stephen. The Bible tells us that he did miraculous signs and wonders. How many of you guys would like to sign up for that? Miraculous signs and wonders. Oh, yeah. The word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now, let me tell you about these priests. We're talking about 7,000, 8,000 Levites and priests, okay? 15,000 guys. And what we're talking about is 24 different groups of these priests would come and serve in the temple. So what we've got is about 650, 700 of these priests and Levites that would work once a week, twice a year. Okay, they're kind of like the Army Reserves. And these guys were sold out. They would run. There was, 600, 700 of these guys running the whole temple. And they would go in and they would see the miraculous signs and wonders that were being done by the apostles. They would be seeing the reality that was happening right there in Solomon's colony, right there in the midst of the temple. And as they saw that, they would also see the money changers scamming people. They would also see the people that were selling the offerings, ripping people off. And they would see the lie. And they would see the kingdom of darkness pressed in right into the temple, right into where the kingdom of God was supposed to be shining brightest. It was at its most dim. And as they saw this, the apostles doing these miracles, as they heard the testimony and the witness of God, as they were living with disappointment in their hearts and in their lives, I think that message of truth began to resonate. I think the message of hope and change began to resonate. And they began to think, I don't want to serve a lie anymore. I don't want to be backing up this falsehood anymore. And in large numbers, they turned their back on the lie. And they began to follow the truth. They began to push back the darkness. They began to embrace the Spirit of God. These were people that wanted to connect with God. God said, I'll show you a way. You come in here today, I think that the Lord would show you a way as well. Because I think many of you want to connect with God in a more real way, in a more tangible way. Many of us come into this place because of the lies that are spread all the way around. And we hear about Christmas and the commercialism and the toys and all that kind of stuff. And I think there's a lot of people out there that just want to connect with God. How about you? Many of you are finding that avenue to God. Many of you are finding the way to leave that life that is destructive. You are tired of the kingdom of darkness clouding your life. You're grabbing on to the power of God and you're pushing that kingdom of darkness back. Where's the enemy creeping into your life? Where are you supposed to be pushing? Because he does not fight a fair fight. He'll bring the attack right to your house, right to your home, right to your kids, right to your spouse, right to your pastor. It's been a rough day today, folks. But it's a rough place around here. But I'll tell you what, kingdom of darkness not happy about the light being shined around this place. Are you pushing back? You pushing back? You shining the light? So often we just want God to bail us out. Hook me up, God. We can start complaining about situations around us. We can be complainers. We can want somebody else to come in and fix our situations. God is looking for us to make the change. Jesus says, I have given you authority to trample on the enemy. Jesus says, I have given you power to push back the gates of hell. And I'm wondering if you're pushing today. Where are you at today? Where's the enemy at in your life? Lisa, you want to come up and sing something for me? Because many of you, and I celebrate the power that you are experiencing in your life, the power of the Holy Spirit that you would push back the darkness. And some of you are sitting here today with a black eye, and the enemy has beat you down all week. And right now, you are sitting here and you are thinking, I did not have to go through all that. I could have pushed him out on Monday. I could have pushed him out on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. I could have stomped on him yesterday. I didn't have to deal with him this morning. And what I'm telling you today is you don't have to go home and get punched anymore. The Lord would have you push the enemy. He says, I have given you authority to trample on the enemy of your soul. So, Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, many of us embattled. Many of us fighting the good fight. Lord, I celebrate, Lord, the victories that go on. I celebrate as I see your Holy Spirit empowering people to choose good, to grab onto the keys of of heaven, Lord, and to unlock, Lord, the resources, the kingdom resources that can transform, and to push back, Lord, the darkness. Lord, I pray for each one of those, Lord, that you would continue on, Lord. Help them, Lord. Encourage them, Lord. I pray, Lord, as Stephen and as Philip were waiting on tables, Lord, that there was better stuff on the way. And Lord, I thank you that there's better stuff on the way for each person here. But Lord, there is that person that is here today, many people that are here today, beat down, not pushing back. Lord, I pray that you would send a message from heaven. It's not necessary. You don't have to be beat down. My child, I trust you. I will equip you to overcome every challenge from the enemy. Every evil dart come your way would be extinguished. Walk with me, my child. Is that you? You here this morning and the enemy is just stomping you. Doesn't have to be like that anymore. Lord has sent this message for you. Stop complaining. Start standing and start pushing. And your life will get better.